हरे कृष्ण।
So, we'll first define ego. Very important to define ego. So, ego is defined as existence without God. The consideration or the feelings of me, I am. That comes only when we separate from God. And there is something called as false ego and something called as true ego, real ego. The real ego is, the meaning of real ego is, I am the servant of God. I am the part and parcel of God. My duty is to serve God. That is real ego. And false ego is, I am independent and I am so and so. It may be man also, a woman also. I am man, a woman. This is male ego or female ego, whatever. So, everybody of us is suffering because we are considering us as separate from God. I am. The I am comes only after we forget God. And then the false ego starts manifesting into various activities. First it exists, it comes into being, and then it expands. First it expands into, you may say I am a woman, and I will say I am a man, the first level. And then I will say I am a doctor, then I am a rich man, I am a poor man, or I am a beautiful man, and I am a powerful man, or I am a very educated man, I have these attributes, I can do this well, I can do that well. There's so many things are there, which I will add on to that. First being a man, first thing, then I'll go on adding so many layers on that. And every layer I add, there will be a difficulty in future, in behavior. However powerful I may be, but suppose I look at you and you don't look at me, it will hurt me. I may be Prime Minister of India also, and I look at you, you don't look at me, and don't respond to me, I feel hurt. Okay, what do you think of yourself? Why I think, what do you think of yourself? Because I think myself something great, that's why I think, what do you think of yourself? That means I am also something, you can't ignore me. And then comes ego clash. Then you think you are great, I think I am great, and then we both have to work together. And I want to go my way and you want to go your way. And we don't want to cooperate with one another. This is actually the problem of ego. I mean, ego is a very big subject, but day to day we are facing this ego problem. Husband and wife, you know, why doesn't you do this? Why should I do this? I am also employed, I am also working. These things, I am a man, I am looking after everything. I take responsibility, I take decisions. What do? You always depend on me on decisions. So many things are there. So everyone thinks from his point of view that he is something. And he wants that recognition, number one. And second, respect accordingly. First, you have to recognize me, what I am. Acknowledge what my position is in front of you. It's like when I walk from gate, security should say Hare Krishna to me. Then second gate, Hare Krishna to me. Then third, employees, whoever pass by me, should say Hare Krishna to me. If they don't say, I think that who they are, what do they think of themselves? I am so and so in the hospital, they have to respect me. So once you identify with your position, then all these things happen. But suppose I come in the gate and I myself fold hands and wish everybody Hare Krishna. Without considering that I am a director or so many, whatever I am in the hospital. Then I will get better response than what I think before. So what is the answer to ego? It's only humility, nothing else. Only humility. Humility also, you have to go down and down and down and down and further down. It's just not that I got down once, one step, and that's it. I can't become any more humble. This is the limit of my humility. I can't take any low position than this. In fact, we have to come to a situation of no expectation. That is, you can say, okay, I am working on my ego. When you don't expect anything. When do you expect anything? You expect anything based on your situation that you are. You think I am so-and-so, so I expect. From husband, from children, from subordinates. Of course, in working status, in working of the professional situation, you have to maintain the hierarchy, otherwise people will take you for granted. I am talking about spiritual point of view. The easiest way, what happens when we chant Hare Krishna or chant the holy name of the Lord? When we chant the holy name of the Lord, your false ego gets destroyed and your true ego starts coming into existence. And the true ego means, I am servant of God. But at one point of time, little bit I think I am servant of God, and then I think I am doctor. Then again I think I am servant of God, and again I think I am a man. And again I think I am a servant of God, again I think I am a very strong and decision-making man. So it is always putting its feet in the process of becoming humble. You are always obstructed. The material world is designed in such a way, the whole place in such a way that you always think something you are different than the other person. Or when you go to aeroplane and up in the sky and look down, you don't even exist also. We are so insignificant. That's always the fact. But at the same time, still, when we are with us, ourselves, I think I am something. And the spiritual life is a process to negate this false ego, to completely eradicate this false ego, and without eradicating this false ego, the true mercy of God will not manifest through us. What does Jesus Christ say about humility? The meek and the humble will inherit the kingdom of God. That means the kingdom of God is not meant for people who have ego. There is no question of ego in the kingdom of God. So all those who become meek and humble in this world by practice, by effort, by desire, they will ultimately live in the kingdom of God while they are here with experience, and they will go to kingdom of God after they end this life. Do you have any specific question about this? To think now, if you go in the material world and you say I am nothing and it's insignificant, they will say, why are you pitying yourself so much? It's considered as self-pity. It is considered as weakness. Think like this. And even the spiritual world, if you go and start saying, I am nobody, I am most fallen, I am so insignificant, I am like dirt on the street, again you are condemned over there. Why are you condemned over there? Because they don't want false humility. Sometimes, you know, you become a new devotee and you go to temple, so everybody speaks, Prabhu, I am your servant. Prabhu, I am so insignificant, I am so fallen. This is like the language of the temple, you know, they just pick up that language because this works there. It clicks there. So you try to be part of the temple congregation and you speak that language. But if you meet your Guru Maharaj and start talking like this, I am most fallen, so he will tell you that don't try to be artificially humble. Be humble. By just telling you, I am so fallen, I am like, no, I am not even like dust on your feet, I am not also like, you know, I am nothing, I am so degraded, even the dog in the road is better than me. Speaking like this is also in one sense false ego, trying to show I am a great devotee. Even if I am a devotee, I am supposed to give up my ego, but to think I am a great devotee also is the ego. Suppose in temple you go and say, I am a 25-year-old devotee, I am so senior, I have done so much, I have gone through so much, I studied so much. Even to think like this is also ego. So ego doesn't leave you, you have to leave the ego. Even if you go to temple, church, mosque, you meet the most saintliest person in the world and you have following the best process of devotion, unless you give up your ego, ego will not give you up. It will always follow you, always stick to you. It's like a mosquito, you know, it's like howling on you. It just cannot leave you. You have to leave the place. Then mosquito will not bother you. Mirror road expertise. You know all tricks how to handle. So point I'm telling you is, it is not that the moment I join Hare Krishna or join some church, immediately I become naturally humble. It's like, you know, changing the apron and wearing a sari. It's not so easy. It follows you everywhere. And one has to be very, very, very effortful in this pathway of becoming humble. And he said that if you carry ego, then that much God is away from you. Because that ego is like in between you and God. I am and you are not. And the more humble you are, you may be having many, many, many faults in you, many, many defects in you, many unwanted things in you, habits, whatever you have developed. But if you have humility, then by the grace of God, all those deficiencies in you can be wiped off. But if you, in other way, if you have all good qualities, you are a good speaker, you are good knowledge of scriptures, and you are done so much austerity, you have followed rules and regulations, and Chaturmas you do like this, and this fasting you do like this, you are expert in doing all those things, but you are proud, then God doesn't recognize you. Neither He recognizes your attributes that you have. So one may be also proud of his being humble. That also is not supposed to be there. Pride should not be there of anything. What Jesus Christ says in the Bible is, pride comes before fall. Anybody falls down from any platform, pride has to be there. It is said that somebody is here and he falls, he makes bigger noise when he falls. And somebody is there and he falls, there is no noise. So bigger the ego, bigger the fall and bigger the injury. So better not to bloat our ego. And ultimately, we have to always understand what is the use of becoming egoistic. Suppose I clash with you. There are many examples I can give you, but it's like the personal examples. I'll not go into that. If I am clashing with you, the first thing I think is I'll smash you. I'll use all my power, all my position, all my influence, all my contacts, all my situation to destroy you. And see that I win. But even if I win, it is not that happiness which is very pure in condition, in nature. Their happiness is agori. Agori means in the mode of ignorance. Their happiness is after causing injury to you, I am becoming happy. I am becoming happy. But that happiness is not pure happiness. But it is said that when I fight with you and there is ego clash and I am right, you are wrong. Suppose, it's a fact, I am right, you are wrong. But if I take a humble position, God will be pleased with me more than the person who is at fault. And if I am at fault and you are right and I take humble position, again God's mercy will come to me only. And if I am right and you are wrong and I still say humble, take a humble position and bow down to you, still God's mercy will come to me. So in either case, who wins in the eyes of God is not the one who is right. One who takes humble position, he wins in the name of God. Suppose you get married and go to a new house. Now, what is the virtue that works the best to become successful daughter in law? What is the virtue? You're married and you have a position, you have earning source and you have degree and your household is also XYZ, brother in law, sister in law, mother in law, father in law, everybody is there. And you are entering new in the house. What is the most successful attribute that you can have that will strike chord with everybody?
Respect them and get permission for
them. Correct. And how does respect come? Unless you are humble, you can't give respect. Humility is a basic quality. Even if I want to respect you, I should first be humble to respect you. If I am proud, I can't respect you. I think you should respect me. So humility is the only principle that works. Even if you go to a new company as a CEO, for example, in topmost position, and you want to become successful, even there also, in topmost position also, where everybody is subordinate to you, humility is the only principle. When the boss is humble, the staff will not say ye to ullu aadmi hai, they'll start respecting you if you're on top position, and you still become humble. You understand what I'm saying? It's like the ant is coming and telling the elephant, see my muscles, you want to challenge me, you want to fight with me wrestling. So what the elephant should do? Should go and crush the ant? Elephant should just pass away, just pass by. Elephant should not say, I am elephant, she is ant, what does she think of herself, I will just crush her today only, right now. No, elephant what actually should do? Just walk away, just ignore. Not in pride, but you know, what's the use of talking to this foolish ant? She doesn't even know who she is and what I am. Ignore. So even if you get insulted and you digest the insult in the name of God, for the sake of God, then God will be very pleased with you. Anything more? Ultimately, whenever there is an ego clash, you have to think that where I have to carry all these things when I go. You always think, always think ki I have clash with you, I have clash with her, I have clash with him, I have smashed him with my position, I smashed her with my position. Ultimately, when I will die, can all the victories come with me? No, they will not come with you. In fact, they will come with you as a negative account, and they will cause some damage to you. Because when out of ego you hurt somebody, it comes back to you. Because somewhere you are in high position and somewhere you are in no position. I always give example. Here I am a director. When I get in the train from Virar to Bombay, I am not a director there. No one cares for me. They will brush you, they will give gali to you, they will bad words to you, they will smash your foot, they will do everything. And also they will say, if I say something, go to first class. Why you are coming in second class here? If you are so much uncomfortable, go to first class. So then you can't say, what do you think? I am a director of Bhaktivedanta Hospital. He said, I don't care who you are. The first answer you'll get. So by default, you may think I have a position, but your position is in a limited area, in limited area of influence. It is not universal. Even if, suppose Obama comes to India, and he comes to Dharavi Jhopadpatti, they may not even respect him, they may not even look at him. Who is for them? Who is he? Doesn't make any difference. They will keep doing their work. Kya karna hai apne ko? Who is he? So Obama think, I am Obama, you know, even President of India respects me. What to speak of Indian citizen, he must respect me. But he may not respect you. So nobody has an absolute position except God. No one. You may think my area of influence is larger and larger and bigger and I am so influential. But still it is limited. It may be large, but it is limited. So we should not be thinking that I am so great that wherever I go, my position works. It is not true. That's why better to be humble. Because one thing, that humility, even if you are traveling in train, long distance train, local train, or traveling in a bus, or traveling in an aeroplane, traveling in a charter plane, or traveling in your own yacht, humility will work universally everywhere, wherever you go. Wherever you go, humility will work. Is that true? In front of your husband also, in front of your child also. Humility and respect will always work. So when I address my staff members in spiritual care, I always say that even if you are doing spiritual care, the highest one can do to people is to give connection to God. The highest. You cannot do any more charities to anybody than helping that person to connect to God. So you may think, I am doing the greatest service, and you may become proud. And then I say your service will fail there. If you think that for you, I am doing a greatest thing, I am trying to help you to connect to God, even to think like that is not good. Because if I am able to connect you with God, it is by God's grace only I can do it. It is not with my power I can do it. Tomorrow you may all tell the management ki we don't want to listen to Dr. Shanbhag at all. Please stop this Friday program. And I'm doing great thing. I think I'm doing great thing. And you all decide ki we don't want to come to this Friday program. What can I do? What can I do? I can't do anything. So even the desire to listen to me, and by listening to me, desire to be connected to God more and more, is also your desire. Is your willingness. It's not my greatness. If you don't come, only half the crowd comes, I can't do anything. You may say, I'm very busy. Emergency is there, patients are there. I am not able to come. What can I do? And if you come in large crowds, I should not feel, but say, I'm so popular. When I speak, people come in flocks. Both are not in my hands. Only I start thinking that it is my credit. When you come, I think, see how great I am. I said, my SMS and 50 people are gathered over here. How great I am. It's not like that. Everything happens only by grace of God. And we should be always grateful to what God is doing. So spiritual care people, I tell that even if you are able to help them to connect to God, never think you are the doer. You are doing it only on behalf of God, by the mercy of God. Only when He wants, your words will work. Otherwise, your words will not be effective at all. Nothing to be proud of. Your vacha is given by Him, and the power to your vacha also is given by Him only, to influence anybody else's heart. To whatever degree you are able to influence others' hearts in connection with God, is also God's grace. And God will decide at what time how much empowerment to be given to your speech and what time there should be no influence. I have myself seen, when I spoke to somebody, they became so interested and they became God conscious. And there are some people whom I am speaking for a lifetime, they have not taken God consciousness. For example, my family members. Now 30 years have passed, I have been talking to them. I have been giving them prasad, I have been giving them information, I am inviting them for yatra, I am informing, everything I am doing, wherever I go, I bring prasad for them. They try to do everything possible, what I must have done 5% for others. But they are not coming into the way they should come. Others have heard from me the same thing and they have taken up bhakti, and family members are not taking. That is a proof that I am not the one who is making them devotees. It is He who makes them devotees. Whom He wants to become devotees, He makes them devotees. Not me. Otherwise, every ward boy, every ayabai in JJ Hospital would have become Hare Krishna devotees in JJ Hospital. Because I have spoken to everybody when I was a student. Lift man, watchman, ward boy, doctor, nurses, everybody I have spoken. They are my good friends now also, but they haven't taken up bhakti as such. So it is not by my speech they become. So you know, pride will attack you everywhere. Wherever you get some result, the pride will attack you immediately to identify, this is my result, this is my gain. Wherever you get something, you think I am the doer. And wherever you lose something, you blame others. Is that right? Something goes wrong, you have to always point fingers to somebody else. Okay, because of you this happened. And if something good happens, even if it is not you, you will take credit to yourself. And with this mentality, we can never face God. Never. I don't remember exactly a quote. In Bible, there is also a quote. When you take a credit for what you have not done, there is some punishment for that. And generally, big bosses do that. You know, there are some bosses, when the projects become successful, they will go and take all the credit, okay, because of my leadership, because of my guidance, because of my encouragement, the staff is performing well. And when the project gets failed, then they will say, my manager did not do this, my supervisor was a useless person, how will I function, they are all, you know, incapable of doing things, and my team is filled with all these teams. So you will never accept blame. I know so many leaders, you know, who will always take credit of all the subordinates whenever good thing happens. And one bad thing happens, they are ready to pounce on everybody and blame everybody in their team. But who is a good leader? Whenever success comes, he will glorify everybody in his team. When a failure comes, he takes full responsibility. I am responsible. That is the leadership. And that leadership is spiritual, because that leadership impresses God also. Okay? So, this particular false ego needs to be destroyed in this lifetime only. Please remember this. If you carry forward, this ego will bring you back. This ego will give you another body. Because body is a substrate of ego. His body is the house of ego. So much so that suppose you are a fat person, very strong and very healthy person, and somebody is a very thin person, immediately you will feel superior to that person. What to speak of you being small or big? Suppose you are sitting in a truck and somebody is in rickshaw and fellow is sitting in truck and driving is 35 kilos and fellow sitting in rickshaw is 100 kilos. Still truck fellow will condemn the rickshaw fellow. You are sitting on the road while driving. The fellow is driving on the truck, he is always feeling he is superior to you. Hey, get lost from in between. What are you coming in between? Go on the side. Because you are sitting in truck, you identify with the vehicle that you are sitting in. That much this ego is powerful. When you come out of the truck, you are insignificant, nobody bothers you. But you feel great when you are sitting in. In fact, somebody is driving Mercedes car as a driver, as a chauffeur. He feels great than a chauffeur of Maruti Omni. होता है ना ऐसे. आप कौन सा गाड़ी ड्राइविंग करते हो? वेर आर यू ड्राइविंग? यू से आई एम ड्राइविंग मर्सिडीज, आई एम ड्राइविंग लेक्सस. एंड यू से आई ड्राइव सुमो, वॉट एवर, आई ड्राइव मारुति ओमनी. सो इवन वॉट यू आर नॉट, यू आइडेंटिफाई विथ दैट यू आर नॉट ऑल्सो. यू नॉट अ कार, यू नॉट द कार ड्राइविंग, यू आर ड्राइविंग, बट स्टिल यू आइडेंटिफाई विथ दैट. डू यू फील लाइक दैट व्हेन यू ड्राइव योर, what is that called, xylo? Or when you drive in smaller car, you feel something else? Immediately, the surroundings cover you and influence you as part of your ego. Immediately. It's like that. And the base and the root of all your false ego is your body. And depending on your body, you behave. So if you have ego, then you will be given the body again, another body will come upon you, and that will have its own ego. Like tiger will walk with his own ego, and a cat will walk with another ego. The cat will walk like in fear when tiger will come, and cat will walk in great pride when rat will come. So what is the ego? Based on the body only. When that soul tomorrow will go in tiger's body, what will happen? It will have its own ego. I'll tell a nice story to you, how the ego gets transformed and modified. There was a rat, and the rat was always harassed by the cat. So the rat went to a sadhu and told sadhu that this cat is always harassing me, please make me a cat. Sadhu said, tathastu, and the rat became cat. So trouble from the cat was finished. Then the cat was harassed by the dog. Too much harassed by the dog. Again he went to Sadhu and said, Sadhu Maharaj, now the dog is harassing me. So he said, become a dog. So immediately it was transformed into dog. And dog's trouble was finished. And then he said, this German Shepherd dog is too powerful and always I feel insignificant and he's harassing me. So he said, okay, you become German Shepherd. And then he said, now I am moving in jungle with great pride, and then tiger comes and tiger is harassing me. So he said, okay, you become tiger. And when he said you can become tiger, immediately he became tiger. So he started staring at the sadhu, started hissing loudly with staring eyes. Sadhu said, what are you looking at me? Tiger said, I want to eat you. Sadhu said, Punar Mushaka Bhava. Become rat again. And he became rat again. So immediately understood what I am trying to say. As soon as the covering changed, He thought, this is my food, I must eat him. Before that, he was asking blessing from him to become somebody. But now, tiger thought that I allowed him to grow from rat to a tiger. And now the tiger ego, that I am a tiger, is making him feel that I should eat you. He said, finish off that ego. Again became a rat. So you know how much it is depending on your body that you are in. And you think you are a human being. You are superior to all the animals, all the birds. You have bigger intelligence and so many things you think. But don't forget that you are the same soul as the dog has, the cat has, and tiger has, and the bird has, and the elephant has. Your size is same. You may be weighing 100 kilos or 50 kilos, 35 kilos. But your size is same. What is your size, you know? What is your size? Yes, Madam Kolte, what is your size? 6 feet? 100 kilos, what is your size? 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair. That is your size. However you are, whatever 100 kilos, 50 kilos you are, Olympic gold medalist you are. But your size is 1/10,000th of the tip of the hair. And the covering is big or large or small. Of dark or of black or whatever. Beautiful or ugly, whatever you say. Your nose may be pointing towards somebody, or nose may be pointing down. But your size doesn't change. So actually your ego is what? Actually ego is 1/10,000th of a tip of the hair. That is your ego size. But you think that you are not. You identify with what you are not. A tall man will look at the young small man, you know, and will talk also in such a way that, you know, 4 feet. Like that it is. But you are actually the same. Even the amoeba, who is a unicellular organism, has the same size as you. Only his body size is one cell. But his size is same as your size. So what is there to be proud of? When this covering will fall, you are the same again back. A new covering will come, again will think, I am that covering, which is coming again. The whole life is given to you in human body to study this particular influence and negate this influence. For this the human life is given. Because in the cat's life and dog's life and tiger's life and bird's life, you cannot negate the influence. The intelligence is not there with you to negate your false ego. That capacity is not there. You will just transgress from one to another body. That's all. But when you come to this body, in this body there is intelligence by which you can understand who you are and who you are not. Okay? When you know who you are and who you are not, then you will come to your real senses. Who am I? That's why you meet sadhus, na? They feel themselves very insignificant. The more advanced they become in spiritual life, the more insignificant they feel of themselves. Because they are coming to the true understanding of themselves. That is that you are humble. Most insignificant. And when you really feel humble, you don't have to ever say that I am humble. You don't have to make stories of your humility also. Your humility will be perceived by others, irrespective of whether you tell or don't tell. Whatever you are, how much ever humble you are, others know exactly. You don't have to describe to them how humble you are. And how in other situations I became very humble, you don't have to describe stories of all your humility to anybody else. Humility will speak for itself. It will manifest in your behavior, no need of announcement. And that humility has to be acquired by daily chanting the holy name of the Lord. Now you may say, "Arey, topic of ego, humility, topic of ego, and again holy name, what is the connection?" There is no connection only. There is connection. Because your false identification with your body and the surroundings of the body is called extended ego. I forgot to mention that. There is ego and there is an extended ego. This is my son. How can you say about my son like this? Extended. This is my car. How can you kick my car? This is extended. When you car you, I go and hit your car. I'm not hurt you. But you get very hurt. Right? But nothing is there in the body, no scratch. I hit the car. But because you are identifying with your car, you get hurt. And somebody else's car is hurt, doesn't hurt you. So there is something called ego and something called as extended ego. So all this we have to understand, everything is false, illusory. And why do we need to chant? Because when you chant, the attachments of the soul with the various layers of false ego are one by one detached, severed or taken away from you. One by one layer of ego goes away. And as you go inner and inner and inner, the layers are finer and finer and finer. As you are outer, you can see the body. Then inner you go, then you see the mind, subtle than the body. Then subtle than the mind is intelligence. And then subtle is ego. And ego has many, many layers which are tightly stuck to the soul. Very difficult to give up. And those tightly stuck layers of false ego are removed by chanting the holy name of the Lord. That is why we chant the holy name of the Lord. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava maha davagni nirvapanam. Cheto darpana marjanam, the mirror of the soul has got many layers of dust. You chant the holy name, one layer of dust goes away. And what happens when you clean the mirror? What happens? No, you will see yourself, no? The way you are, you will see. There is dust, you can't see yourself. You only see the dirt. But you clean the dirt, what happens? You will see as you are. The mirror will show you as what you are. Mirror will not make friendship with you and show yourself as beautiful than what you are. Mirror is a very honest personality. Honest instrument. It will just show you the way you are. So when you chant Hare Krishna, chant the holy name of the Lord, the mirror will show you as you are, a part and parcel of God. And don't be proud of this body and the hairstyle and the physique. You look into the mirror, it will show you that you are a spirit soul, part and parcel of God. Just be humble, that's all. Anybody else? Any question is there? In the official setup, whatever discipline you have established, you must implement it, irrespective of, for the sake of the institution, you should implement it. For example, if the junior staff doesn't stand up when senior staff comes, it's not a question of his ego, it's a question of etiquette. He has to be told. Like I'll tell you, in one of the Janmashtami program, it's a very good lesson with it, we learned. In one Janmashtami program, we have decided that 2:30 is the last time you can come in for Abhishek. 2:30 p.m. 2 o'clock will start and 2:30 p.m. it will end. And whoever is assigned to come should come before 2:30 only. After that, we will not take anybody. So it became 2:30. And our person came and stood like this. No board, please, I'm sorry that Abhishek is ending right now. And we sent 2-3 persons back. And hand was like this only. And Dr. Sankhya came. Okay? So, the hand was shown to him also. So, what he did was, he pushed the hand and he went and did the Abhishek. And our department was very upset. Okay, what is this? We make a rule and our director itself breaks the rule. So, then he explained. It is not because I am Dr. Sankhya and director of the hospital. It's not the respect to me. It is respect to the position of the director. That if he comes, or tomorrow chairman comes after 2:30, for example, you have to respect that position and allow. It is not that Dr. Sankhya is hurt or Dr. Sankhya is honored. He didn't go because he was Dr. Sankhya. He went because he was director. The point I'm trying to convey to you is, for the sake of establishment of etiquette, one has to execute and implement the rule. So there is also a rule that 2:30 the Abhishek ends. But what is the higher rule? That there are always exceptions to the rule. You can't be rigidly disciplined. There has to be always a flexibility for exceptional situations. So suppose Dr. Sankhya goes to NICU. and Sister Bindumal doesn't stand up to wish him, then he will have to tell her, you don't stand for Dr. Sankhe, stand for the director who is coming in the office. That is the etiquette. And that will be his humility to tell that you have to learn to respect the position of the person. May not be, you are not respecting the person maybe, you don't like the person. But whoever comes in that chair has to be respected. That is the official setup. So one time, two time, three time, you may accept it and tolerate it. Fourth time, you have to take the person aside and tell, I am so and so. You will have to, it's a rule that you have to stand up and respect. Why is he saying that? Because he doesn't say that, and what will happen? Then everybody will follow the same thing. Others who are standing, they also stop standing. Then the whole culture of the institute will go down. Because our director is humble, no? He is humbler than blade of grass. Because his scripture tells him to become humbler than blade of grass also. So I don't need to respect him. That is not right. In the heart of heart, I may feel the most lowly and most fallen. But if I am serving in a position, for example, if I am a king of a country, and I am serving the country in the position of king on behalf of God, as a representative of God, then a certain amount of respect has to be given to the king's position, not to the king's person, to king's position. It has to be there. Or the world will say that, you know, you are sitting on a throne of $1 billion worth throne you are sitting. That much money can feed so many people in the world. Why take so much costly chair? Take a simple chair, no? PVC chair, 275 rupees. But he has a position to serve. And for that, he has to accept this paraphernalia. And it's not part of his ego. Like when Shivaji Maharaj was, he met Ramdas Swami or Tukaram Maharaj, I think, somebody. As soon as he met Tukaram Maharaj, or that, I think, Ramdas Swami. So he said, I don't want to become any more king now. I want to join you. I want to become a sannyasi. So he said, you think that you are a king, and you think that you are giving up your position of a king. That is a false ego. You are nobody. You are simply servant of the Lord. And you are supposed to run the kingdom as a servant of God, as king. And giving up that, thinking that I am a very humble person, is your false ego. So he said, don't become sannyasi. Go back and remain a king and serve the kingdom as a servant of God. So continuing for him as a king was supposed to be his humility. Killing Karna in the battlefield was Arjuna's humility. Fighting in the battle of Kurukshetra on behalf of God was Arjuna's humility, not arrogance. Because he was doing it for the sake of God. Even activity of killing also was done to serve the Lord, to fulfill his desire, to fulfill his desire and will. So at times the activity may appear to be arrogant, but consciousness may be humble at the same time. You don't explain anything. You give respect to her. Don't need to give any explanation that how she should not behave like this. You just give respect from your side first. If you give, automatically it will come back to you. Neglect, no? Lack of recognition is also very hurting when there is false ego. We have to understand only one thing. You keep giving respect first from your side. This will work in official and unofficial all setups. When you give, you in giving you receive. So you give respect, you'll get respect. You give honor, you'll get honor. If you give only, you'll receive. So if you feel that she's not giving me enough respect, I am supposed to get. Better I start giving respect. Even if I don't want to respect her, so I should get respect in return. I should just give respect selflessly. As a part of human being, as a part of God, I should respect. Automatically respect will come back to you. Even if you don't want, it is said that respect will follow the person who doesn't want it. And respect will run away from the person who wants it desperately. Samajh mein aaya aapko? If you want respect na, respect will always leave you. If you don't want respect, respect will follow you. Ulta equation hai. It is not in demand that you get. You have to be in command for that. Samajh mein aaya? Hare Krishna. So, last, close it.